Are you worried that recent events have derailed your retirement plans? It certainly made us reassess all aspects of ours, and that's why we're proud to offer our listeners a chance to work with David McClellan, a fiduciary financial advisor from Forum Financial. David's practice specializes in financial life coaching and retirement planning, and right now he's offering free consultations for our listeners if you mention the podcast. As part of this consultation, David can help you understand your financial freedom number and what that means to you in assessing your future financial plans. If you want to build wealth, if you want to make optimal decisions within your financial life, David is someone you need to talk to. You can reach him at 312-933-8823. Once again, that's David McClellan at 312-933-8823. He's located in Austin, Texas, but he's got a nationwide clientele. Do yourself a favor and get some great financial advice for free and see if you might want to work with Mr. McClellan. I think you'll be happy with your phone call.
Welcome to the Everyone Gets a Trophy Reaction Podcast. Any mistakes we make, we hope you'll forgive, given that Texas just kicked Alabama's ass in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's won 52 of the last 53 in Tuscaloosa. Texas went in there as a 7.5-point underdog. And a gentleman that I'm looking at right now who's got a big grin on his face told me on this podcast, which was then told to the Twitterverse and tens of thousands of Bama and Texas fans, that Texas was going to go into Tuscaloosa and win comfortably by more than a touchdown. That proved true. I don't know how comfortable I was for all three quarters, but I felt real comfortable when Texas had the ball back with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, a 10-point lead, and they ran out the clock and finished the game with the ball in their hands. Randy Boone, take a bow.
I'm just glad I backed off the 35-point prediction because they only scored 34. So, that would have been embarrassing, wouldn't it?
No doubt. Egg would have been on your face. People would have called you out. You would have been the chump of the internet. Hey, man, I got to tell y'all.
I'm just glad I get to keep my job because that one dude from Alabama is going to fire me. So
he was going to fire you. He may still fire you.
That's true. Good point.
We'll see. I don't know. He might get a bunch of Longhorn contracts in the next 2 weeks. His name's Randy Boone. Randy, tell him where you work, man.
Yeah.
We don't need Bama fans showing up to your job site with a claw hammer.
I actually had a random thought that if they would have come out and smoked this, that they were going to find my cell phone number somehow. And I was going to be sitting here all night long just muting phone calls from whatever the hell Bama's area code is. But thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. So
Let's talk about the game. And hey, I do have to talk up Randy. Other than the prediction, obviously, Rana and I talk offline. We don't just talk on the podcast. And this was not show. This was not performance for Randy. He was like, I think we're going to win comfortably. And he was like, I'll be surprised if we don't score 35.
I guess I'm surprised. But no, I mean, for everybody out there that cares, I offered everybody that works in my office the opportunity to bet me on the more than a touchdown opportunity. But I was also going to make them give me the points because why wouldn't I? Because Vegas did, and they didn't want it. But I did tell them that I thought we were going to win by more than a touchdown. I just didn't bet them straight up.
Do you have any Aggies in your office?
Oh, they're all Aggies.
Oh, and they didn't jump at the opportunity.
I got my boss went to A&M, but he's a huge Longhorn fan, which is kind of a weird odd backstory. But yeah, the construction industry is a lot of A&M faithful there. So it's pretty lonely. It's pretty lonely. I'm glad we won. So I get at least a week of reprieve.
It's lonely at the top, Randy. Let's talk about this, man. Do you want to break it down by unit? Do you want to talk overall? Do you want to talk about what this means to Texas to go in and get this level of win in such a difficult environment? I mean, dude,
let's start with environment.
Okay.
Because I was not there, obviously, but just looking at game in the stadium environment, I felt like that was pretty raucous early. Just from shots on TV and everything. And I don't, it's probably an abnormal, it probably was basically the abnormality when Bama came to Texas last year. We were probably a little bit dialed up. I think they had the same thing going this year. And I was impressed by the way we handled it. And Bama actually had more pre-snap issues than we did. So that was impressive. That's a good sign moving forward for sure.
Texas, to reinforce Randy's point, had four penalties for 40 yards. I don't recall any motion penalties.
Not off the top of my head that killed us for sure.
Yeah, we had two or three holds, and that's just part of football, playing aggressive football.
No, I thought the penalties that were called on us were legit, and I thought all the penalties that were called on them were legit. Like I didn't remember a call in the game where I was like, that was crap one way or the other. I thought it was. Other than the fact that they were about to overturn the snap through the legs, which I originally thought we ran on purpose, and that would have been awesome if that was a play call.
That was not the play call.
No, absolutely not, but that would have been great if it was a play call.
Unbelievable.
Hey, originally, I was like, oh my God, we just ran this.
All right, we're just going to freeform and shoot at this. And you mentioned the crowd and the fact that we weren't there. Two of our three sponsors were there, one of them being Mr. Gabe Winslow. I was joking around saying, hey, during the game, y'all need to give him a call and test his workmanlike professionalism because he'll cut a deal during a TV timeout. Someone took Gabe up on that and called him and said, and it was a woman said, my husband said that this is that we do really need help and you sound great. But he said to have me call. So I didn't get, you know, that, I'd be the one who got yelled at or something. He wouldn't yell at a woman. And Gabe was like, no, tell me your deal. I'll make it work. I'm in between tailgates here right now, walking to the stadium. And by God, Gabe got it done. So, hey, Gabe is probably drunker than Cooter Brown right now. But let's support our Longhorn brother. Give him a call. If you need a mortgage, 832-557-1095. And then Laura Baker, realtor extraordinaire, member of the Andy Allen team for Keller Williams. She's in Bama too, and she is fired up based on my cell phone blowing up. So you can give her a call if you need a local Austin realtor and bask in the wonderment of this game and this victory. 512-784-0505. And I know David McClellan, the ultimate financial advisor, has a giant smile on his face right now. So make sure you support him as well. And his phone number and info will be attached to the pod. So, all right, Randy, I just want to freeform this and free shoot this. We got a quarterback, man.
He played extremely well today, I thought. And he left a couple plays that I'm sure he would like to have back. But 24-38 for 350 and three touchdowns and no interceptions at Bama for a sophomore. Yep, I'll take it.
Yeah, not only will I take that, what ball did he hit that we weren't sure he could hit that ball?
He threw a couple deep balls that connected for sure.
The Xavier
both
Worthy.
Both of them I thought were overthrown off the ground. It's like, oh no. Sure enough, we ran under both of them. But I will say this, and everybody harped on it in the intermediate passing game and everything. His touch on the intermediate ball today.
Gorgeous.
Was fantastic. The passes he had to Sanders and everybody. Like I said, he played a very, very solid football game.
Hey, I got to say, too, the Texas wide receiver core as a whole came through as promised. Xavier Worthy dominated Alabama in the first half, okay? Five catches, 75 yards. They paid him a lot of extra attention.
Yep, took him away.
And A.D. Mitchell, Jatavion Sanders, and Jordan Whittington stepped right up. Jatavion, five catches, 114 yards, including a 50-yarder. A.D. Mitchell, not only three catches for 78 yards and two scores, and one of them a 39-yarder, which was the ice. He also drew two PIs, Randy. And then Jordan Whittington, an extraordinary catch and run in the middle of the field on a crucial third and long. Really blocked his ass off. AD, you and I saw some less than physical moments from him in terms of run blocking, but if he's going to catch the ball like that and create those sorts of mismatches, I guess I'll live with it. What do you say?
I'll take the trade-off at this point.
Yeah.
Is I mean, if he's gonna be a legitimate receiving threat, which I think he is, he did enough on a couple plays. It's just the ones the ones that jump at you. It's like, ugh. But if he can do that, I'll tell you this: Whittington had some really, really good blocks as well.
Yep.
Sanders, if you're talking about blocking, he got blew up on a play where I don't even know if you can fault him for it because Bama didn't line up correctly. Their guy runs across.
Turner just ran to the other end.
Shows up in front of him just out of nowhere, and they snap the ball, and Sanders is like, I don't have anybody to block. Oh, shit, there's a guy there. And then he just gets blown up, and, you know, on TV, they're like, well, Sanders got destroyed. It's like, I mean, did he, though? Like,
I think that startled him.
This goes back to my argument on tempo. It's like, yes, it can be a great thing, but if crazy crap like that happens, you get blown up. But tempo did, to Paul's point, tempo helped us a lot today.
All right, I made my tempo face at Randy.
Tempo helped us a lot in the game today. I will give it to Paul. It did.
Hey, well, Texas went in and out of tempo, which is kind of what you want to do, right? You don't want to be a one-trick pony in that regard. But I thought it gave us a decided schematic advantage, as a great man once said, both in the first half and then some key junctures in the second half. Hey, the running game, I didn't expect to run on Bama. You know what? I got to say, man, they did just enough.
There was a small period there where they had it going.
Well, I got to say, that third and seven conversion late in the fourth quarter,
that
where
was
they
a
spread them out.
Great play call. A lot of misdirection, a lot of cross, but almost every one of the running plays that hit was some sort of a pull scheme, gap scheme with pullers. Yeah. And we talked about it in the podcast. It was like lining up and running zone against Bama is not, we're just not there yet. Like, I'm sure we would love to be there. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, we had to your point, we had an outside zone run for -5.
Yes.
On an A.D. Mitchell Olay block on corner blitz.
I'll say this. It surprised me. We had a lot more success running at their edges than I thought we would. Not necessarily wide, but, you know, right off the tackle.
Well,
so, I don't know. To your point, just enough.
What I saw is we told our backs to press it, meaning get up on people and their bodies and then move off of them and cut off of them. Don't try to make your cuts in the backfield because you're going to get cut down. It's going to be second and 12. And I got to say, other than a couple of runs, all the runs went for positive yards, which is helpful, right?
I mean, I think the only run that I can really criticize was the one that Blue was in for, where he just kind of tried to cut back for no reason. I think there was actually a hole outside. I'd have to look at it from the other angle, but I mean, that's a tough call. I mean, hey, first carry, I'm in, and all week long, I've probably been told to get my pads upfield and cut it back. Right. So, yeah.
Well, the other regrettable run would be the end of half situation where CJ Baxter ran.
Yeah. He went out of bounds. That's tough.
It's a freshman.
And that hurt us last year against Bama with Roshan. So
it's a football game.
It's tough. I mean, it's easy for me to be sitting on the couch and going like, dude, you got to stay in bounds there. Like, yeah, there's a bunch of 280-pound guys trying to hit me.
We're such Texas fans that we're critiquing mistakes, and we just beat Bama's ass in Tuscaloosa,
yeah,
Randy.
Exactly.
We need to change our mindset, which is what this win is about to do for us, and I think University of Texas but football.
I'll jump back off of Baxter. He showed a little bit against Rice, but I think I'm starting to understand why he's the quote unquote 1A back.
Mm-hmm.
You see him a little more patient, a little more willing to let things go. And then I think Brooks is a little bit more of the, hey, we've got some stuff established. You see the creases and you go guy. I think Baxter can kind of pick his way through some stuff a little bit more than he can.
He's stronger, and I think he's got
good vision.
I think he's got good natural vision.
The vision aspect of running backs is so overrated, or so underrated, excuse me.
I was about to say, holy shit.
No, it's so underrated. I mean, like, the guy that can see that you know, the lanes develop and everything is, I mean, Emmett Smith, I mean, Emmett Smith ran a freaking 4.740.
Yeah.
Led the NFL in rushing. Granted, his offensive line was really good, but he had the patience and the know-how to get through that.
All right, offensive line. Quinn Ewers does not throw the ball the way he did without that offensive line. Zero sacks for Bama.
That's what I was about to bring up right there.
Very few hits on Ewers. Bama, I think, had 8 or 9 pressures for the entire game. They tried to rush with 4, unsuccessful.
Yep.
Couldn't do it. Then they started blitzing. Ewers was very calm, but the offensive line really played well. One quick point I want to make. DJ Campbell started the game. Cole Hudson finished the game. I think he played the whole second half. So I was really proud of their performance because I called their asses out after Rice, and it deserved to be called out. And every single one of those guys elevated their game. I'm really proud of them.
I didn't pay attention to the personnel, but yes, to not notice them, to not give up a sack. I don't recall just an egregious free runner.
No,
at Ewers. I mean, he may have taken like 1 or 2 clean hits of the 9 pressures or whatever you brought up. But no, man. I mean, for what they were up against and what the way they looked last week, that was a absolutely yeoman-like performance for sure. Really good. Very exciting. Very exciting moving forward. If you can see a quarter of that jump every week moving forward, then in 3-4 weeks, we're going to have a hell of a offensive line to deal with.
Yes, 100%. I mean, the key is to build on this, right? In terms of our protections, people are going to ask, did we change anything? Yes, we changed almost everything.
Yes.
So that little half-assed play-action fake that Ewers was doing was effective in the sense that Sark knows Bama teaches gap responsibility first, and you can't just haul ass up the field on first down if there's a suggestion of a run. That said, we didn't try to play action with a bunch of pullers and things that would create. We blocked inside out, and Ewers stayed his ass in the pocket. He did not float. He did not drift. He didn't try to run around the end. He was told to move in the pocket, allow your offensive lineman to set you up for success. And those guys, I mean, a couple of plays, Jaheim Otis got pushed and got a PBU. I mean, dude, he's going to play in the NFL. It's a freaking football game. Okay.
One of those led to a 6-yard rush.
Yeah, exactly. Ewers caught his own batted ball right up to the Jonathan Brooks.
Those two plays in a row, I'm like, I think we're going to win this game.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, that was but you know, there are games you watch, you're like, oh, it's faded. We're going to win this. So, oh, we got the break. Texas didn't get the breaks in this game.
Not necessarily. No.
Texas won the game on both sides.
And to the point to where we talked about in the pod, like, we didn't trick them.
No.
Like, it wasn't 4 random weird plays where we scored 28 points and the defense played good. Like, we beat them.
Yeah.
And I thought we could, but there are plays in the game we could have made to expand it in our way, plays in the game where they could have made to turn it in their favor. But
yep,
we played a football game toe to toe with Alabama in their stadium. We belonged on the same field that they did, and we beat them.
That's a good segue to the defense. Randy, between the Texas Longhorns and the Alabama Crimson Tide, which was the more physical team for all 4 quarters?
On defense, it's definitely us.
Yes.
They kick their offensive line's ass for the most part.
Yes. They absolutely did. If there is one area, and this is not official gripes or any nonsense, it's their home field. I get it. Bama got away with a few holds, and you would have had more Texas pressures or sacks. Hey, that's just football. It happens. Look, the defense played their ass off. Bama did have some big plays, but in the first half, the Texas defense was dominant. Bama finished with 362 total yards, 255 passing, 107 rushing, which is amazing given how they started the game running the ball pretty well.
Second drive for sure. Yep.
forced two turnovers. Bama on third down, 5 of 14. We knew third downs were going to be everything in this game. And really, Bama's primary success on third down was in the passing game, not running the ball, not converting third and short or intermediate. I just thought the Texas defensive line played their asses off.
They were dominant.
There were mistakes here and there. I mean, Ethan Burke actually started the game kind of poorly. He got it together, and holy moly, did he get it together. Anthony Hill.
Two sacks?
I think a sack and a half. I think he helped on another. Anthony Hill
Talk about Hill.
I thought he was used situationally like chef's kiss. They didn't try to have him out there every down. They played him in spurts, and they brought him in on key situations either as a rusher or – and they were saying he was the only – He was the spy assigned, but sometimes he was the spy assigned on zone defense behind him, correct, which is a different type of deal. Like,
absolutely,
we didn't neuter him like LSU did with Harold Perkins, right? Hill made a couple of mistakes. He got deeper than the quarterback a couple of times.
On rush assignments.
Pass rush.
Yep.
Yeah. But his quickness and his ability to close ground, holy shit, Randy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There are two tackles he made that are still in my head when he was a spy.
Yes.
Where he gives up leverage. He gets caught in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you should be like 6 yards to the right of where you are right now if you're really the spy.
Right.
And he still makes a tackle.
And he just recovers.
Like, he still runs him down. He runs down Milrow.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere. It's like, man, I don't know. It got me really, I don't know. It's, you know, you get jaded over the years that, you know, this five-star guy or whatever, this super talented person coming into Texas. And then, you know, you see him not pan out, which under this regime has been a lot different than in previous ones. So maybe I'm, like I said, jaded from the past, but that dude's a football player.
Yeah. I don't know
if he's a linebacker. I don't know if he's a defensive end. I don't know if he's a whatever he is. But he is a bona fide football player on this defense for years to come, for sure.
Well, the box score agrees. I don't think he played more than 35 snaps, but he was second on the team in tackles, 1.5 sacks,
and
multiple pressures. So I'll look up his snaps later when I get the chance.
Right here.
Oh, you know how many total snaps he got?
Looking right now.
Oh, look at that. Randy.
Oh, I thought I was going to.
Well, Randy,
it's blank. So
there you go.
Guess it's not there. Usually, never mind. I will not do that.
They fill that in later. Hey, talk about deceptive stat lines. Byron Murphy finishes this game with 2 credited tackles. How many times was he pressuring? Milrow hitting him right as he threw, like hard hits. We talked about the need and the necessity to hit Milrow hard. Tell you what, Jalen Milrow is a pretty tough dude because he took some shots. And I don't think the camera lingered on him or showed them on replay.
No.
But I was looking at that, and I was picking it up on some of his incompletions and some of his completions, and he was getting lit up. Byron Murphy was a big part of that. Tavondre Sweat, freaking Alfred Collins, just Burke. And they just were rotating those guys. I mean, Broughton had a good pressure or two. He had a couple of tough rundowns, which is what you'd expect. But,
yeah.
Did Texas finish with 5 or 6 sacks?
Five.
5 sacks, 18 pressures.
5 on Milrow, yeah.
19 pressures. 5 sacks. Holy moly.
It was just such a great performance by the defense. And really, I mean, you had one really good play design where Thompson kind of got turned.
Yes. On
the post corner where they motioned it out.
Yep.
I don't know the defensive call, but I mean, that's the correct alignment, coverage, and everything. He allowed himself to get turned and he threw a good ball, and hey, you know, good teams make good plays. Everything else was pretty tough earned. I mean,
two turnovers, two INTs, one by Thompson. Yep. And one by Jahdae Barron early.
One really good play by Barron, and the other one was the old, where the hell did that guy come from?
Yeah.
To Thompson, which I'm unfortunately, I've made that throw before. So
you are familiar with that throw?
Like, he wasn't there, and then you watch film, and you're like,
he's there. Shit.
No, he was there. He was there. I don't know what happened, but yeah. Hey, there was a couple throws. The only gripe I really have on defense, and it's crazy because Ford was like 20 yards deep in coverage. But there was a couple times where they hit people over the top of the middle.
Yeah.
Where I thought there was no threat beneath him and or Benda or whoever else was with him. It's like, just keep getting depth.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's also a good player. You're making a good throw against, you know, so whatever.
Milroe is an interesting passer. He made some really good throws. He made some regrettable throws.
What do you think he looks like in 8 weeks?
I think he's better.
Is he the answer they're looking for? Or does Bama have a new quarterback next year?
That's a great question. Well, I'll say this, Randy. I was getting texts from people around the 11-minute mark of the fourth quarter. They were all saying, does Milroe go back in? And I was like, yes.
They oh, 100%. Yeah, no.
Put Milroe back in because he's synced to the game. But also, they're trying to build experience for the SEC. And also, they think they can win the game with him. If they go down and score and you know, our defense, you know, our offense starts to feel the pressure, which they did not.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sitting here on cloud nine and everything else. This game doesn't move the needle one way or the other for Bama or Texas if they run the table from here out.
Correct.
So if they think Monroe's the guy, then they needed him in that game on the way out. And I assume that they think he's the guy. I don't know. I'm just curious to get your take on it because I agree with you. I've seen the other guys play. I think he's their best bet. I think he will get better, and I think he's their guy moving forward.
I think they're going to use some more quarterback run game. I think that will be their takeaway. You did see the blitz to contain when they tried to go empty or they tried to go spread.
Executed it very well most of the time.
Yep. I thought our three-man rush was pretty effective. You'd like to layer behind them a little better on a couple of those throws, but the three-man rush was getting pressure. And that's, if you're getting pressure with a three-man rush, as long as you don't bust something behind them, that's a tough deal for a quarterback. I think,
go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'll say this. This game, the quality of play being high on both sides was important because it gives you get out of jail free card later in the year.
100%. Couldn't have been a blowout, and it could have been a crappy game. Then it means nothing.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think pollsters in their head and the people that vote are on these stupid playoff committees, I think they went, oh, Texas and Alabama are juggernauts. And Texas went and won that game. This was not, Bama sucks.
Yep. You're 100% right.
So that's really important for Texas. You know, what if Texas had done a full Randy Boone and boat raced them and Bama's blowing coverages left and right and they can't line up and Milroe fumbles four snaps and, you know, Keystone Cops, we wouldn't get as much.
No, we don't get the help and then they get buried. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
you're right. Yeah. So one thing to take note of for Bama, because now, by the way, every Texas fan become Alabama fans.
100%.
Bama's big games are going to be played in Tuscaloosa this year. So keep your eye on that. And also understand that them doing well helps us like a lot.
Let me get your take on this.
Sure.
Should we send them some 04-05 offensive Greg Davis film?
we should send them the Houston Madison cut-ups from 2001.
Because I think he can throw the ball probably better than a young Vince.
He has a beautiful deep ball. But it's got to be a one-read deep ball. Milroe can't make reads. You cannot overwhelm that guy.
I agree with all that. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, I guess maybe 03, 04.
Yeah.
But, hey, I think they could have used some more zone read, a little more of that action, which I know they're not built for it and blah, blah, blah. But if your quarterback's built for it, you're built for it.
Yeah, they need to practice that. They need to get that going.
I agree. Like, now that we've beaten them, yeah, let's help them out.
Yeah,
100%. I don't want to see him again.
Well, Sark's best friend in the coaching profession is Nick Saban. And
yeah.
So I don't know if people know this, but Sark is kind of like one of Nick's few confidants in the coaching profession. So be interesting. I think they'll have a little post-game, post-mortem. Not specific to us what they could do to us, but
I think we
could see him again, right?
I mean, I don't want to speak for you.
Sure.
But if Nick would want to invite me and you to his Jupiter house.
His $25 million house?
To review some of this game film, I think I'd be down. And I could probably work that into my schedule.
Also, we could stay there and house sit.
Even better. Me and Paul are just going to watch film here. We'll send you the notes we got.
He's like, this index card smells like bourbon, and it's covered in chlorine from the pool.
We're way too. We're both way too happy right now to do a podcast. But hey, whatever. It's great.
We are, man. I got to tell you, that was as fulfilling a Texas win as I've seen since. I mean, it's been a long time, man. That was a very fulfilling win. I mean, 08, 09, I don't know.
The only one that I can even put up to it is we took I went with my good buddy of mine, Bob Cole's son, Jason, up to K-State in an RV and watched a Texas win where we hadn't won a game there in forever.
Is that L. Roberson?
Man, I don't. There's a lot of alcohol consumed that weekend. Right. I don't even remember what year it was. Look it up.
I'll look it up. The year Randy went.
We might have lost. I don't know. But
we might have gotten blown out.
But that's one of the more satisfying wins for sure.
All right. I don't want to be that guy. But what encouraged me about this win and the approach and how this game finished was that I don't think this is the, yay, we played great, our season's over. I don't sense that in this team. I don't sense that in the approach post game. Players were happy. They didn't act like they won the Super Bowl.
Yep, 100%.
I think we just need to, like, we understand the level of play that we can reach now. We're not going to reach that every week, but let's get 85% of it, because we got about 45% of it against Rice.
You're probably a little kind there.
Yeah, maybe.
The run the ball to end the game thing. And I know we got the jump off sides penalty, but sure. Whatever. But anytime that you can get the ball with, what was it, 5 minutes left? 6 minutes left? Somewhere in there. It's even better. And you just milk the clock down. That's a good feeling on the visiting sideline.
Well,
that's a good feeling on the home sideline. Let alone you this quote. The visiting sideline.
Post game, Steve Sarkisian. Getting the ball with 7 minutes to go at the end of the game, then finishing the game with the ball in their hands, I think it's indicative of how far we've come. This game is not going to define our season. We've got 10 more regular season games to play. But I think it does serve as a good benchmark for us of what we're capable of and what the potential of who we can be as a team moving forward. I love these guys. They really give us everything they have. They trust us, and they believe in what we're doing.
I agree with everything you said. And I'll say this. That dude called a hell of a game.
Badass.
for all the second half adjustments and this and that and whatever, I mean, he deserves to take a lap around the tower when he gets back and tip his hat, because that was a phenomenally called football game on his part.
So I got to say this.
Kwiatkowski, too.
Kwiatkowski coached his ass off. That was a classic Pete Kwiatkowski prep game. Beautiful job.
Yep.
I got to say this about Sark. Fourth quarter, he let his nuts hang. We kept running play action on first down over and over and over and over. And he said, I trust our offense. I think we're better. We're not going to have a hit, strip sack, fumble. We're not going to have an INT. That's not happening. I am going to throw the ball because we're better. I've identified all your coverages. You can't stop us, and we're just going to keep throwing it until we keep scoring. And that's exactly what Texas did.
Yep. No, I got mad at him for going for it on the fourth down and not punting and pinning them deep when they scored. And I still think I probably would have punted it, but he knew what he wanted to do coming in this game, and he stuck to it. He was going to win the game that way, or he's going to lose the game that way, but he didn't give a shit. He was going to go for it.
Well, his post game, he said, I tell my guys they have to let it all hang out and play aggressive. So if I don't coach that way, I'm betraying them.
Nope. He's 100% right.
I'm cool with that.
Me too.
I think the players sensed that, right? Beyond sense, they objectively, empirically experienced it. They played the game and they saw the kinds of plays that Sark kept calling and putting the game in their hands.
I think you saw a team, too, that moved from play to play better than a Texas team has recently.
Oh, my God, yes.
Where it was, oh, damn it, we missed that tackle, and he flicked that ball over. I mean, there was a play, there was a sequence of plays where Jalen Ford missed a tackle. There was a ball flown, like, right over his head where he could have dropped a little deeper.
Yep.
And then he makes a 3-yard tackle for a loss, and he just he runs and celebrates like, I don't even remember what happened 2 plays ago, which is absolutely perfect for a football player.
Yeah. One thing, did you watch any of the Pat McAfee broadcast, or did you just watch the Herb Street Fowler one?
I watched it on mute. I had kids running around and this and that, and whatever. But
that was a smart move.
The McAfee thing sounds sort of annoying to me. I can take him in bursts, but, and I'm assuming they were in the end zone because that's where they typically are, right?
Yeah, and then they had a cut screen that you could show the action.
Yeah,
and then
if you want to change it up, if it wouldn't have been a Texas game, I'd have watched that one. If it was been Florida State, LSU, or whoever it was, I'd have watched that one instead of the other one. But I tried to keep it on the main broadcast, but if it was legible, there's a lot of yelling going on. Everybody was pretty amped up here tonight. I guess they were happy.
I ended up just watching the main broadcast, but they kept doing close-ups on Ewers and gushing about, like, look how calm he is.
I did notice that ESPN straight up ripped off the Fox broadcast stuff from last week. It's like the same, like, graphics. It's like, hey, here's what he looked like at South Lake. Here's what he looked like yesterday. Here's what he looks like tomorrow. It's like,
oh, no, that's
funny.
This,
like, they did this last week. I saw this. But
that's hilarious.
Anyway. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Oh, Oregon beat Tech.
Oh, man.
What a shame. Rice beat Houston, Randy.
Yeah, that's not surprising either.
Jalen Daniels threw for a cool 400. What do you think about that? Poor old Holgo.
400?
Yeah. You don't.
Who
you
did?
Don't just...
Wait, hold on. What? Who'd you say?
JT Daniels, the quarterback.
JT.
Of the
I thought
Rice
you said
Owls.
Jalen Daniels.
No. Jalen Daniels went off last night. Dude, this is a big win. And the thing that's so cool about it is I don't think this is the highlight of their season.
I hope it's not. It shouldn't be.
No. I think this put some people on notice.
I had a buddy yesterday. He's like, "You saw that Wyoming quarterback against Tech, right?" I'm like, "Don't, no, I'm not worried about that guy.
We'll be fine." Hey, gotta say,
I mean, he's a good player. Nuts. Don't get me wrong, good player. Good player,
no, but yes. He's not a good player. He's just really tough.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a good college football athlete.
That's a correct descriptive.
Willed his team to a victory at 47,000 feet above sea level.
7,200. Don't get crazy. I live at 6,500, so I understand the advantages, the elite athletic advantages that it gives me, Randy.
I will say this: very interested to see how we handle next week.
I don't
want to see a sleepwalk early. Like let's jump on this thing and keep the momentum moving.
I think we got
I'm
a
so
pass.
Needy. I'm so needy.
You are needy, little.
We just beat Bama at Bama, and I'm worried about
what a biatch over there.
Do. So needy.
I think we found a couple of protections on the offensive line that are going to work for us. I
agree.
And if that is the key, hey man, protected yours is that guy that we just saw. Not protected yours, getting hit, getting flustered, getting knocked around. May not be that guy.
I will say this about yours. That it just from my standpoint or whatever, if you could get your hands on some end zone tape from the Bama game, watch it. Because there's a couple throws that he made that from the side don't look impressive.
Yeah.
They were.
Those little intermediate.
Extremely impressive.
When Bama started running zone and those little layer throws.
He hits some pockets that a lot of people can't do.
Yep. Agreed. It's the best we've ever seen Quinn Ewers. I don't care about stats. I don't care about all the bullshit. Given the opponent, given the situation, just the stats and the effectiveness and how he was decisive when it mattered, that's the best Quinn Ewers we've ever seen. That's the golden boy we were promised.
His
Our
comment.
True-cutted golden boy.
His comment post game was awesome.
What did he say?
They said, what should the media be talking about Texas moving forward? He said, nothing. We had a lot of games to win. I was like, my guy.
That's my boy. My dog.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Randy, you called it. As I know you're a pitcher and you're going to be offended by this, but you were the batter who stepped up to the plate with Randy Johnson on the mound, and you pointed over the left field wall with your bat, and you went in there and slugged it over. He's already so upset that I'm making a hitter analogy about his efficacy here.
Man, I'm not some dude that's trying to pretend to know more about football than people. I just thought we had an advantage that we can exploit, and if we did, then I thought we would win by more than a touchdown.
That's right.
And it's 10. 10's more than a touchdown, right?
10 is more than a touchdown. Hold on, I got
to
calculate.
To all those people that said, "Who the hell am I?" And yeah,
well, they still don't know who you are.
I'm gonna take a little victory lap. No, they still have no idea who I am.
As he's
the one guy the one guy that tried to fire me might know who I am. I'm not.
He might know. He might know where you live. So let's have a chat about your gun safe.
I got a security system. It's fine. I don't have a Liberty safe either, so the government can't get into it.
All right. On that note.
Sorry, was that too much?
Freaking. Only you and I could screw this up. Texas has their biggest win in about 15 years.
We're complaining about the weeks ahead and talking about this.
I hope we don't come out slow against Wyoming. Shut up, Randy. Jesus.
Oh, man. What a night, man. What a night.
Awesome night.
Awesome,
hey.
Awesome. Awesome.
All joking aside, it's a great night to be a Horn, man. Hook 'em.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hook 'em.
For Randy Boone, I'm Paul Wadlington, and we're out.
Interest rates are up and the market is tumultuous, and now more than ever, you need the best darn possible mortgage broker working on your behalf. That's Gabe Winslow, and you can reach him at 832-557-1095, or you can go to mortgagesbygabe.com. What makes Gabe so unique? Well, he's incredibly bright. He's a UT grad. He's got a law degree. He's been in the mortgage industry for over 20 years, and he is a true mortgage broker. What does that mean? It means he can shop for the best deal at over 80 different lenders and find you the terms that best suit you. Most mortgage guys you talk to won't reveal that they have exactly one size fits all for you and exactly one conduit to get your loan. If you are in these hyper-competitive markets and you're in these markets that are frankly gotten a lot less friendly to the consumer, you need the best possible person working on your behalf. That's Gabe Winslow. He has our full endorsement. You can reach him at 832-557-1095.